Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have not sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, sorry, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I have divided this chapter into three different sections. The chapter has one particular theme throughout all of it, that the Lord would rise up against the false pastors, the false prophets, the false shepherds that have multiplied in Jeremiah's day. What are they saying? They are saying that the people of God shall have peace. Everything shall be okay. Speak not words of judgment to us, O prophets. Speak smooth words to us. Speak easy words to us. And those prophets have risen to the charge. They have spoken those smooth words when it is a day of judgment. They have spoken those words of peace when it is a day of affliction. They have spoken those words of comfort when it is a day not to be comforted in any temporal way, but to be comforted only in the mercy of God and in obedience unto him as he would shed abroad that mercy. So, in the first section then, they're called the pastors. And of course, pastor is a country term, right? It's a pastoral term. I didn't want to say pastor is a pastoral term. That's why I said a country term. But the word country is the word pastoral. And so pastors are those who lead flocks, who shepherd and feed and so on and do all those things that are required for the officers of the church to do. They are called pastors in Scripture. That's a It's a wonderful and honorable profession. It's a wonderful calling. Those of you who are aspiring to the ministry of the gospel, that's a good work, as the Apostle Paul will say. But it is a good work to be done according to the ways of God, according to the commandments of God. It is not a good work in itself. Remember that. That when ministers occupy that office, they are to teach what the Lord said, what the Lord says. They are to take the Word of God and apply it to the people of God in the various histories, societies, and places that the people of God are living. If this was universal, we wouldn't need pastors until the end of the world, would we? If we could just all read the Bible and understand it ourselves and not have to make any application to it, and then if it was just, you know, us and Jesus alone with our Bibles in our closets, we wouldn't need pastors. But the Lord has ordained the office of the ministry to take that very Word of God and apply it to the people of God in every age, according to the necessities of the age, according to the history, according to the situation, according to the sins of the age, according to the encouragements of the age, and so on. And so it is necessary till the end of the world, until Christ returns, that there should be pastors in the church. This is what Jeremiah is talking about. They needed them even in their day. But there were pastors that rose up in the nation of Israel, in the church of the Lord of the Old Testament, and they were teaching lies. They were giving people comfort when there was no reason to comfort them. They were teaching them to stay in Jerusalem when the Lord had commanded them for them to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and to go away for 70 years, like we heard last week, and that how counterintuitive and yet true that was. And pastors are to be insistent from the Word of God, even upon those things that are counterintuitive to the people of God. It's a hard word that they must often bring. And bringing that hard word, often it meets with resistance. But that is not to cause the pastors to draw back from that hard word. Rather, it is to speak gently and tenderly and yet firmly the truth of the Word of God to the people of God of every age, and specifically to their own churches that they're called, to their own flocks that they're called to minister to. It's both a blessing and a curse, I think, in our age, that we have access to so many ministers, many of them very good ministers. And yet, what do we end up doing? There was a thread that came up on social media a few weeks ago, and this gentleman was asking a group of people, "Who is your favorite pastor and why?" And then someone else chimed in and said, "You know, that's a horrible question to ask." Right? As if that's what we ought to be thinking about. And so this other gentleman had a mild rebuke for this first guy that came up and said, "Who's your favorite?" Of course, he meant it in all uprightness and so on. But it is easy for us, isn't it, in our consumer-ish kind of mentality to begin comparing these kinds of things and end up in ways that are not good. So we have, in Jeremiah chapter 23, this rebuke, first of all, in verses 1 through 4, of those pastors that would lead the people of God astray. May I say that that is probably one of the most cursed positions in Scripture, to be a pastor, to be installed as a shepherd over God's people and to lead them astray. There are several. In this chapter, there are several things said. Also in Ezekiel chapter 34, there are things that the Lord rises up to make clear that any who would enter into that office, that they must make clear that they are completely committed to the Word of God and to teaching the truth of the Word of God to the people of God. And that most specifically, like we hear in that quotation ascribed to Luther, with regard to the spirit of the age that exists in their age and how they must inoculate against such thinking by the Word of God in every age. Right? That's that quotation. If I am preaching the Word of God fully and faithfully in every area except where the society of my age is raging against it, then I'm really not preaching the Word of God, am I? And that quotation obviously is ascribed to Luther, although in these last few years it's been brought into doubt whether or not Luther actually said it. It doesn't really matter to me who said it. It's a good word. All right, so that's verses 1 through 4. Notice the Lord says that He will remove those pastors that mislead, and He will replace them with those who will lead properly. Well, that's something to pray for, brothers and sisters. That is something to pray for. That should your own pastor mislead you, that the Lord would remove him through proper means and replace him with someone that will teach you the Word of God. But not just me, every pastor. All right, so then in verse 5, notice the Lord is going to offer them hope by pointing them to the true shepherd. I'll say it that way. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And so there's going to be a new word for the people of God. It will no longer be the Lord liveth that brought up the people of God out of Egypt. It'll be the Lord liveth that brought from the ends of the earth all of his people to himself. And so this is an obvious prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the remedy to those false shepherds. He will bring that true word as the good shepherd and as the king that reigns in righteousness. As David was a prophet king, so will this coming one be a prophet king as well. And he will be called the Lord our righteousness. And so, and please hear Jeremiah here in his historical context. Listen to what he says. He's saying, they're not going to say, well, I'll tell you what, let's do it out of verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Israel is scattered by this point in Israelite history. She's no longer a nation. All of those former lands and cities and towns, etc., from Dan all the way south to the borders of Judah, that's been inhabited now by the Assyrians. And the people of God that were there, that were faithful, have been scattered into every land. And so Israel, after the fall of Samaria in 722 BC, ends up in typology being a kind of type for the days of Messiah, when the people of God, not just ethnic Israelites, but the people of God will be called from every land. And so notice, Judah and Israel shall be saved. All of the people of God will be brought near from every part of the world in his days, in the days of Messiah, the one who is the Lord our righteousness. And so there will be a new word. Right? Not the Lord liveth that brought the children up out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord who brought them out of every nation upon the face of the earth. And that brings us then to verse 9. And we have Jeremiah's word. And this begins a very long section, as I have it in the chapter, where the Lord inveighs again against the erring shepherds. Now he calls them prophets and false prophets. But Jeremiah begins this himself with a testimony from his own mouth. Listen to what he says. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. First of all, because the land is full of adulterers, and then secondly, because prophet and priest are profane. And that those three verses, 9, 10, and 11, set the tone for this next section. And so the Lord then will go on for quite a space here, speaking about the wickedness of these prophets. Here's what he says. First of all, he calls them out as false prophets, those instructors in Judah, probably the remnant of the schools of the prophets in Samuel's day. And then notice how that in Samuel's day that school had a great utility, but in Jeremiah's day, not so much. That these men were profane. They are condemned because they refuse to call out the sins of the people and to tell them, and they've told them instead that they will have peace when they walk in the imaginations of their own evil hearts. In other words, they press the doctrines of men. This has happened in Samaria and in Judah. They have become to him, to the Lord, as Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, that they have become indulgent. They have looked for a word that will comfort them and further them in their designs out of their own minds, rather than to submit themselves to the word of God. That's what Jeremiah is relating here. Notice that the people of God are to mark the word of the Lord. That is, they are to take special note of it. They are to cherish it and not to be turned away from it. But they are condemned, these prophets, because they bring a message in the Lord's name, but not from his word. Instead, from their own deceitful hearts. And note that the Lord does not do away with prophecy or teaching altogether, but he demands that it should be reformed. What a wonderful thing to remember. Right? In our day, we have this thing that happens. It's horrible, but it happens all the time. We hear about an institution that God has established that has become perverse through the sins of people as they take it up. And what do we hear? What's the remedy for that? We say that we should abolish that institution rather than we should reform it back to its godly order. God doesn't say here, because the prophets have become vain and light, that we should do away with the teaching office altogether. No, he says that it should be reformed. He's not telling the people of God, stay home because your pastors are bad. He's telling them, pray that they might be replaced with godly pastors and continue yourselves in the means of grace, judging what you hear in the meantime. It's a very important word that we often overlook today. So then the word of the Lord ought to be handled so as to separate the chaff from the wheat, burning the chaff and instructing and delivering the wheat. And note then the word of the Lord is like fire, that it brings a destroying judgment. And I differ with some commentators in this next phrase, that it is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Some would hear that as a parallel. I hear it as an antithesis. Let me explain to you what I mean. That the word of God is all judgment. It's a fire and a hammer. I don't hear that. I hear it that the word of God is a fire, that it does judge, but it is also a hammer. That is, that it breaks the stony hearts of the natural man. It breaks the rocks in pieces. And so we should desire then that hammering of the word of God upon the stony places of our own hearts. And finally, notice that these prophets shall not profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, the people at all. These prophets shall not be of any good to the people. Rather, they shall be overturned. All right, so then in verses 33 through the end of the chapter, and we'll be done here very quickly. When this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask of thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? This is the burden, in other words. What is the burden? I will even forsake you. That's the burden. And so the Lord here has a threatening of forsaking his people. And so then you will be able to tell, the Lord says, the rest of the false prophets when they disagree with that burden. If they're telling you it's going to be great, there's going to be peace, you know that to forsake those prophets. And so if any shall teach you the burden of the Lord, and it's not, I will even forsake you, then you should be able from that word in that day to distinguish between the chaff and the wheat. All right, we'll have to end there. Let's stand.